Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The Grand Theater in Knoxville has a new executive director. What's happening at the Grand? Let's go in-depth with Dylan Morse, president of the Grand Theater Foundation, and Sean Skehan, executive director of the Grand Theater. So Dylan, how are things going at the Grand?
Really, really well. We're really pleased with the community's support of the theater, their response to the films that we've brought to town, just everything. Everything's been very positive. We're really, really pleased.
Well, and just like all the volunteers kicked in to, you know, to help with the remodeling and the funding, et cetera, now they're pitching in to help with concessions, cleaning, and admitting people, everybody. That's fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is the fun stuff that we were promising all all along during construction and renovating and all of those big dirty jobs. Now it's the fun stuff, having people come in. Everybody's always excited coming to the movies. So to be here, to be sort of that friendly face as people come in the door, get them all fixed up with their junk food, and then send them off to see the best new movie is really fun.
Well, how has attendance been?
Attendance has been great. The weekends and the matinees especially, we encourage people to use the theater during the week. Weeknights in theaters nationwide are slower nights, of course, so if you're really, especially if it's a more serious topic, if it's a movie with a lot of dialogue, we really encourage people to come to the theater during the week because it's a great time to see the movie and to get every detail of the movie. You don't have to wait in the lines. You don't have to, you know, fight for your favorite seat. So that's something to keep in mind. But for the most part, I mean, attendance has just been stellar.
Now, are people mainly coming from Knoxville or people coming from beyond?
People are coming from all over the place. Knoxville, obviously, we have a lot of people from Pella, all over Marion County, really. Tons of people from Pleasantville, Twin Cedars. It's just, it's really neat. And everybody's wearing their different school shirts as they come in. And it's neat to have that validation that it truly is a Marion County project. And it's something that everybody's really proud of.
Any downside, anything that's not working as well as you would have liked?
Nothing major. I mean, there's always going to be little kinks in the system here and there because it's a functionally new business for all of us. So there have been little things here and there that we've tweaked along the way. But as far as the major components of the theater's operations go, it's been remarkably smooth. So we're really, really pleased with that. And we have, again, our volunteers to thank for a lot of that.
You're getting enough volunteers.
We could always use more volunteers. We've had tremendous response. We have a lot of people that volunteer very, very regularly. They've set out and said, I want to do the first Monday night of every month, or I want to do every single Wednesday, or I want to do every Sunday matinee. We can always use more help on the weekends. That's when, really, as I said before, the attendance is at its peak. So we tend to need more people on those Friday, Saturday nights, the Saturday, Sunday matinees. It's important for us to be able to provide the best experience for the guests, to have enough people here to staff it and to do all the things that we need to do to put our best face forward.
Well, I've volunteered a couple of times, and it's a lot of fun.
It is fun. Yeah, you and the family have been here several times, and you're great help. We're really appreciative of it. It is great. We've had several people that literally come with their entire family. They bring the kids, mom and dad are there, sometimes grandparents, aunts and uncles are there. And it's a really fun kind of bonding experience for everybody. You get to hang out for a couple hours as a group, which you don't always get to do, you know, unencumbered by other things and other distractions. So it's really neat. It's again part of what we were after with the renovation and the reopening was bringing people together, and this is another component of that.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Dylan Morris and Sean Skehan with the Grand Theater. Well, you want to know one of my favorite parts of volunteering? it's when I get to meet and work with somebody I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And so you're working together side by side, and it's fun. You get to, or maybe you've just seen them, you know, at the grocery store or something.
Yeah, exactly. And you get, you know, there's a couple, sometimes with a longer movie, there's a couple hours there where you're waiting, you know, for the end of the night to clean up or something like that. You get to have really great conversations with people, like you said, that you maybe have never had occasion to do that with. So it is really, really fun.
When you've hired a new executive director.
We have, and we're really excited about it. I speak for the entire board, and I think the entire community, in saying that we're really excited to have somebody here that, A, really knows what they're doing, that's been down this road before, that can help us out tremendously as we move forward into live events and things like that, especially. But B, someone that's just really pleasant to be around, and somebody that's really focused on the customer experience, and making sure that we're always doing the right thing for our patrons and for the community. So we're really excited to have Sean.
Well, Sean, can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Certainly. I went to undergrad in St. Louis at Webster University, and my undergrad degree was in technical theater and stage management. And from there, I went into the theater profession. I was a stage manager, I was a technician, I was a sound engineer. I've then became more involved in administration of theaters and theater companies and arts organizations. So I've after college, I worked in Washington, D.C. at the Kennedy Center for a few years running a show. And then I went on to get a master's degree at Brooklyn College in New York City. And that was in performing arts management, more broader than just theater. So I worked with dance companies as well as theaters. And my good fortune was I got to work with theater managers from around the country, because I did an internship with an attorney who represents many regional theaters, theaters like the Guthrie or the Alley Theater in Houston or the Goodman in Chicago. Substantial regional theaters, and so I got to know a lot of managers and artistic directors, and that was a great networking opportunity, but also I could observe how different systems worked for different theaters.
Wow.
So that was great. That was great. I did 10 years in Texas. I did 3 years at the Dallas Theater Center as their general manager, and then I was back here in Iowa for a short time, and then was brought down to Houston to the Alley Theater. I was brought in as their production manager, and when their then general manager left to take another job elsewhere, I was asked to fill that spot, which was very exciting and great for me. And we were also on the cusp of doing a major capital campaign and facilities expansion renovation, so I was able to participate in that, which was really interesting.
Well, and then tell people how you got back here.
Well, we had Jill, my wife Jill Bebout, is also from the theater world. She has a degree in technical theater, and she worked as a technician and a stage manager and administrator. And we had both just finished up large projects with our respective theaters in Houston. And it was what's going to be the next challenge? Is it going to be another theater project, or is there something, do we want to maybe buy and renovate another house, something along those lines that was going to, you know, keep us engaged. So, but on a visit up here to Iowa, to Jill's grandfather's farm, we had an extended visit, and there's a lot of family around, and we enjoyed our time immensely. And on the way drive back to Houston, we spoke almost nonstop about who's going to be working that land next, or does it just get sold off, you know, at auction. And so by the time we got back to Houston, we were thinking we could do a small farm. We could grow vegetables and keep cows or dairy goats and chickens. And so we did a lot of research and a lot of talking to family. And about a year and a half, 2 years after that, we did make the move. We retired from our theater jobs and moved up here to Iowa to start Blue Gate Farm.
Okay, and now you're branching out a little bit, and you've decided to move away from that, take a little bit of a different direction?
Right. Now, so Jill has always been the primary farmer. She grows all the produce, and which is a major part of our operation, and she supervises our crew. I work with the livestock. We have laying hens and alpaca and honeybees. And I also used to do hay work, and I do a lot of the bookkeeping. So we're trimming things there and doing trimming on some of the marketing that I might do, going to some of the markets. But Jill and I discussed this very, very thoroughly, and she was willing to do this and pleased that I had an opportunity to come back into the theater business, which is always a stimulating thing for me.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Dylan Morris and Sean Skehan with the Grand Theater.
I bet you have some plans beyond movies, based upon your background.
Yes, absolutely. And so that was part of the attraction for this job is the Grand Theater, when it was built in the 1920s at this location, was built as a performing, as a theater, a stage. So they had vaudeville, and they had singing, and they had plays. And then it became a movie theater. And then it became exclusively a movie theater. So when the renovation was done, they were able to free up space that had been restricted and or unavailable for a while. So we now have a stage back, and so we can host live performances. It could be bands, it could be comedians, it might be a small plays. We could do a speaker series. Any number of things, community-based events. We need to get a little more infrastructure and some theatrical lighting and some theatrical sound gear. We have great, excellent technical gear for showing movies, and that's excellent. But you need a little bit more when you're going to do a live performance. You need a little bit different tools. So we're looking to work that into the system and then be able to host a number of live events throughout the year.
When do you think you'll get that going?
It's a timing issue whether we purchase infrastructure and lighting and gear, or maybe in the short term we rent packages and as we're building up to install a permanent system. So we could, in theory, start doing live performances within a couple of months. We've hosted a few live events. The Knoxville Chamber of Commerce held their Impact Awards ceremony here just recently, and it does work well as a live venue. And that was a simple microphone, pretty simple lighting that we could accommodate. And we know it flows well, and the house has decent acoustics. Even though the microphone was good for boosting the volume, but it's a good room. It's not a dead room, as some of my sound friends would say.
Oh, okay. And so maybe some corporate events too?
Absolutely. We can do rentals. We'll rent the theater out for they could do speeches, meetings, conferences. We could show films, PowerPoints with our projection system, any number of things.
I guess you're going to work with the board to decide how to proceed and maybe what acts to book in the future?
Yes. I mean, I work with, but I'm also soliciting comments from anyone in the community for ideas. We're not, the Performing Arts Center at the high school is a much larger venue, and they can do much bigger, broader things. They can do the musicals, which wouldn't fit very well in our facility. But they also have a much larger house. Our main house is 216 seats, much more intimate, and you're much closer to the action. You know, the furthest seat is much closer to the stage than it would be at other venues. So it allows for a different experience and a different programming model. So it might not, we don't have to worry about filling an entire huge auditorium. We can, just fill a couple hundred seats.
But you want to fill them. You want to bring in acts and performances that, that you sell out.
Ideally, yes.
Ideally.
Yeah. And so it's going to be a juggling act between running first run films and keeping that constituency in the community content, but also finding windows to plug in live events, whether they be just a one night only thing or a weekend thing or maybe even a week long event. We just have to work the calendar and plan out pretty carefully. That's part of the excitement of the jigsaw puzzle of working in a multi-purpose venue.
Well, where would you like to see the Grand 5 years from now?
Well, boy, I would like to see us fully equipped theatrically with a lighting and sound package so that we can accommodate most any group that would need that would tour into here. And also have a regular ongoing series of events so that people potentially could subscribe to a whole season of things. But if it's not a subscription, at least on a regular basis, whether it be quarterly or monthly or even more often than that there is something going on that's not just the movies. Now, in addition to that, we do have the movie projection system, which is great, and we're not restricted to just first-run films. We don't have to just show, the latest Star Wars or the latest superhero film. We can do festivals. We could do, specials on one certain actor, one certain director, do a little montage. We could do late-night programming for people who like odd things late at night. We have a lot of flexibility and the technology to do that. So that is going to be part of the programming as well.
Any last thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners?
One of the pet projects we talked about of mine with the board is to develop some type of plan where we can involve the youth in the community of possibly creating their own mini films, short films, and then having a presentation here at the theater, maybe some mini festival or something that they could come and demonstrate their work. We'd want to find some good talented people for them to consult with on the technical issues or on how to build a compelling story or editing, etc. And that'd just be I think it'd be fun for different age groups to do, and I think it'd be a great fun to show it, and people can just come in and enjoy it. But that's just another way of using this resource to service our community.
Thanks to Dylan Morris and Sean Skehan for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.